1st, 2000. Say goodbye to 2000. Say hello to the... Unfortunately, it looks like more of the same next year. This is Bathrobes Piers Broadsides, coming to you a little late this morning because we have a good man doing a good show. We wanted to give him a little bit of extra time, so hang with us. Santa Cruz, the Sunday morning show, Bathrobes Piers Broadsides, 2.5 hours, or a little bit less than that now, but civil rights on the streets and in the suites and all around the town, or lack of civil rights in this case, but your show and your chance to call in and be a part of a dialogue on issues ranging from the sleeping ban, criminalization of the poor, what's going on in other cities, rent control, stuff that affects people outside and inside as well, police misconduct, local politics. We kind of cover a wide variety of subjects, kind of focusing on folks with not a lot of bucks in their pockets and what's happening to them in terms of basic constitutional rights. I'm your host, Robert Norse. I'll be with you until 1:30, and we'll be wandering around downtown with a tape recorder, doing interviews, giving out flyers. My vehicle will be kidnapped for about 6 or 7 hours in the art show at Cathcart and Pacific, where you can see that fine red station wagon with a few bumper stickers on it here and there, and read them at your leisure. I know you've been waiting for this opportunity. Bring along your red paint and no defacing. Thank you very much. Bring free stickers. You can add your own sticker after, of course, it's suitably passed by our censorship board. Looks like we have an incoming call. Let's see what's cooking. An early call this early. Looks good. Hi, you're on free radio.
A few stickers.
Well, you
got
know.
Got about a couple zillion stickers on there. Hey. I always know your car. I can see it a mile away.
I'm a sticker for punishment. You know what I mean.
It's all loaded down in the back. Looks like a lowrider vehicle with all your papers in the back and tapes.
This is true, and it's a fine vehicle. Let me just put it that way. Mm-hmm. Fine car.
Hey, I was curious if you could maybe just do a little short summarization on why First Night became First Night,
uh-huh.
Thanks to our Santa Cruz Police Department.
Well, you know, why don't I ask you to begin that, because I know you were...
Well, I wasn't there. I don't know all the details of it. I know that Lieutenant Saponi was the one that led the charge of riot cops, 5 minutes out or 10 minutes after midnight,
mm-hmm.
that started a riot that... now has become First Night.
Correct.
Of course, they blamed it on the drummers and all that stuff.
Blame it on the drummers and the homeless, of course. And, of course, it's becoming more fashionable to select certain activists and blame it on them, but that's not the story. Yeah, well, you of course, began a cop watch later that year, as I believe, or maybe it was the next year, in response to police misconduct or potential police misconduct.
Yep.
And you also started a newsletter, a very good one, which I guess had two issues. The, what was it called?
One Neat City was one, and I didn't do the other one. It was called Surf City Black Banner. It was an anarchist paper that a whole bunch of people put together. And I was just one of the people that added to it. I didn't really add in the format or doing the paper itself. I just wrote a few things for it.
Yeah, that's what we really need, is an alternative, regular paper, other than this trash that comes out, this corporate metro and, you know, fluffy good times, and, of course, the completely barf-ridden Sentinel, or the urinal, as I call it.
Well, that's why I was starting a radio station, Robert.
Yes, the radio station. That's right.
It's
we're on the radio.
It's cheaper to put your thoughts on the radio than it is to try to go to Kinko's and make, you know, 1,000 copies of a newsletter of some sort.
This is very true. On the other hand, it's quicker to read if you have it on paper, and people
this
will...
This is true.
You know, I mean, a lot of people do listen to free radio, and I hope more and more do, but getting back to your question, first night began in 1995.
So I'm going to hang up and let you...
Alrighty.
Let you go
Let's
on.
Let's do that.
All right, bye.
That was Skidmark Bob, who is one of the fine street musicians, an upstanding dad, and a complete scoundrel, as well as a broadcaster here on Free Radio, and probably one of the, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 people at the center of the station who really keep it going. So FBI, FCC, take note, get him first. I'm just a worker here. I have nothing to do with any of this stuff. So just passing through. No, just kidding around. We're all a collective, and you know, if they come and break down the door and demand we go off the air, as they did in Austin, Texas, it's going to affect not just the free radio broadcasters, it's going to affect everybody in the community, because this source of information for you and of a microphone for you, this megaphone for you, this opportunity to speak to a lot of people at the same time without paying for it or passing the Sentinel board, is not going to be available to you if this happens. So it's really important. I poo-poo what I call the paranoia of Free Radio Santa Cruz heavies at times. We have a camera here waiting to take pictures of anything happening. We're hoping to, you know, have an alarm if we hear that there's a raid planned. We hope to get a lot of people down here. And some say, well, you know, I mean, I myself have poo-pooed this at different times. But, hey, this station is worth defending, and it's certainly worth this kind of readiness may actually inhibit those kind of potential FCC First Amendment squelching operations. And at least thus far, we have been on the air since 1995, fairly continuously. We have never gone off the air as a consequence of pressure from any federal, state, or local agency. We have had our housing problems, but we have been there, I think, for the community, and will continue to be there for the community. And if you want to be on the air and talk about this or other issues, the number is 427-3772. And perhaps you're wondering when I'm going to get back to the caller's question, which was, how did First Night start? And First Night, as most of you probably know, is this big shindig happening downtown on the 31st of every year, every December. Before I go, however, into that, let me quickly see who's calling in and what she or he has to say. Hey, you're on Free Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, fuck First Night, man.
All right. Well, tell me more.
Bunch of fucking bullshit down there. And so in revolt, in rebellion, to show my distaste of First Night, I'm having a party at my house.
All right. I'll be there.
And so all programmers are invited.
Cool.
And I don't know if you know where I live, right?
No, but I can probably find out.
Yeah, I live next door to Mr. Free.
Oh, the vicious Free. I know.
Yeah. So maybe... I'm free over here.
Hey.
And hopefully it's going to be around 9:30 or so. And if there's any faithful listeners that really like you and are cool, I suppose you could probably invite them as well.
Hey, you are
if
very...
If they call in.
You are right on there. And I want to... I do recall your place while we were preparing protests about a year ago. I think I stopped in. And yeah, that's great. Then I will probably wander on by because I'll be carless, so I'm going to actually have to use my legs for once. And we'll see how that works. You know?
About time, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, you gotta use them every so often or you lose them, you know, that's what they say.
Yeah, I'm like the other way. I use the car so often, you know, every once in a while. I try to stay out of them. They're fucking death traps.
That's for sure. That's for
sure. Among other things.
Yeah, and they take up huge amounts of space in urban areas, as Micah Posner very accurately described one time I had him on the air. He talked about how really cars are an economic issue because they eliminate space for people. You know, I mean,
that's true.
I mean, there's all kinds of space in town for cars and no space for homeless or poor people. I mean, it's grotesque.
You know, that's a really good point.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope to see you and fuck first night.
I think fucking yes, first night no.
Well, I'm thinking maybe if we have a party here, maybe, like, somehow we can go down there and, you know, crash their party somehow.
Hey, of course, there are probably more of them than us, but it's usually there are just mobs of people. They'll probably run Robert Steffen, the bag man, outside Georgiana's Cafe off the mall as usual. Or maybe not.
I hope they don't. He's so nice. Every time I go by, he always tells me hello or good day. I mean, he always says the nicest little comment to me whenever I go by him.
Well, he's...
I think he recognizes me from somewhere. Or I don't know. I don't know how he knows me.
Yeah, Robert.
I tell people, I get all pissed off, and I tell people, you know why he has those plastic bags? So people don't spit on him.
Yeah, that's in fact what he has said, and indeed, it's a way of maintaining privacy if you're in a public space for long, long periods of time. And Robert, of course, was arrested 3 different times, taken to jail for trespass at the Homeless Services Center when all he wanted was a place to sleep. And, you know, he still hasn't, as with 80% of the homeless people in town, have no place legally to sleep at night. And that doesn't, you know, that's first night, too. I mean, first night should be the last night of that particular crime, but it's not going to be, unfortunately.
It shouldn't even be a crime.
No, it shouldn't.
All right, rock on.
Hey, thanks.
Uh-huh, bye.
Bye-bye. And, whoa, glad to have those calls coming in. Yeah, first night is a tradition, actually kind of a commercial tradition, that began to develop, well, it did develop in 1995. That was the first night. In 1994, as some of you regular listeners may have heard, at the end of every one of my shows, several of my shows in the last month, I've played little bits from the 1994 period of time when there was a lot of activism and also a lot of repression going on under Mayor Kennedy. And actually, I guess that's right. Kennedy was mayor when first night, the last night of the free New Year's Eve celebrations actually began. Now you have to pay for these little badges to go here and there, and it's a commercial event. I mean, it's billed as a non-alcoholic deal, draws a lot of people, and I suppose it has its upside, although as the caller has pointed out, it certainly has its downside. You know, it's a commercial deal. I like it whenever crowds get together because it gives me an opportunity to rant and rave and speak up on issues that I think are important ones. So that's always something good for me. But it's also true that on these occasions, as on others, where there's a commercial angle to it, people who are poor, people who are homeless, people who look different, are given special exclusionary treatment by police, by hosts, by security guards, and probably by highway patrol and sheriff's deputies who will probably be called in for this great event. But the reason it began, they say, although who knows, maybe it was on the drawing board for other reasons before, was that in 1994, the police blundered big time. We were in the middle of an ongoing homeless activism activity cycle where the famous homeless activist Wanton Dave Jacobs, a surly old veteran in a bathrobe, sounds a little familiar, doesn't it, folks? And Red Top Robert Flory, who was one of the founders of Food Not Bombs, and for my money, a very well-respected, articulate Santa Cruz nonviolence advocate on local issues, not some character who runs to the Middle East like Councilmember Kennedy and then comes back and does a double take and a double turn and a double face and supports anti-homeless laws locally. No, this is an individual who concerned himself with local issues and took the heat locally. I first met him when he was going to Cabrillo College. And these two were doing a vigil downtown, a two-week vigil, which they called, a world peace vigil, and they were concerned with dramatizing the homeless situation and the fact that elsewhere in the state it had become illegal to enforce sleeping bans. Now, that's changed when it got to the Supreme Court, the California Supreme Court. The so-called Tobe case was weakened badly and sent back to the Santa Ana courts. But at that time, in New Year's of 1994, it was 93, 94, it was in fact, illegal to arrest people for sleeping in Santa Ana and other jurisdictions in the state because of the decision of a fairly highly placed court. I guess it was an appeals court right underneath the California Supreme Court. And these folks had set up their boxes downtown, and there was a very small kind of little cardboard structure they had that was 6 feet high and didn't block anybody's egress, and they were there for 2 weeks. And the reason I mention this is not because it wasn't the reason that the police went bananas, but these were observers, and they played an interesting role in this whole situation. What happened was the police, under Lieutenant Saponi, Patty Saponi, decided to move on the revelers at the town clock early. What happened in the pre-first night days was that people would gather at the clock at midnight, and they would sing and drum and dance and drink. You know, there was booze, and it was kind of a rowdy scene, but it was traditional. And on this occasion, the police decided they were going to exercise a special control. I don't know if we have Kennedy to thank for this or Saponi. I've always blamed Saponi because she was sort of the woman officer on the scene who was supposed to be controlling things and made bad decisions, and as far as I know, never had to pay for them in terms of a demotion or any penalization. But again, we don't know because all these things are kept behind closed doors. What she did was she directed police to move in early at 10 after 12 to tell everybody to go home and demand people leave, stop the music, stop the drummers, and indeed officers began hitting people with clubs on the knuckles to get them to go. Perhaps this was after there was some cans and bottles thrown from the crowd, perhaps it was before, but it antagonized the crowd, and then the officers, in a display of monumental stupidity, or perhaps calculated canniness, it's hard to tell because it had interesting consequences later, funneled people who were kind of getting angry into the downtown area, not, let's say, over the bridge, out of town, or toward the outskirts of the city, but rather right down onto Pacific Avenue. And people began breaking windows and smashing things up. And I did some interviewing and played that tape. Probably should have had it with me today. And who knows, maybe I do. I'll maybe able to play a little bit later in the show. I think I actually have it with me, coincidentally. They began smashing windows. And the people at the Homeless Peace Vigil actually protected the property of the merchants downtown. Call them misguided, call them sincere, call them principled peace activists who don't like to see violence. They, who had been harassed repeatedly by police, acted like police when the police disappeared. The police did not come downtown for about an hour after and essentially people did a little mini property riot downtown for about 45 minutes to an hour. I was down there toward the end of it. I mean, I saw some window breakings, I heard some people shouting and so forth, and I interviewed four or five people, including some of the actual rioters, and talked to other people, and I will try to play a little of that later in the show to give you some historical context of what we have. In response, the Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Association, the City Council, all the panjundrums and noteworthies of the town decided that they would arrange a celebration next year that included blocking off Pacific Avenue and sort of co-opting the festivities, and that's what they did. And they called it First Night, and I'm not sure if we got it from other cities or other cities began to emulate Santa Cruz, but it spread throughout the country, or at least it seems to have spread further. There are First Nights in Monterey and other places, so that's what First Night is all about. And boy, I've gone on about this one at length. And I'm particularly proud of the homeless protesters there. They were trying to get the city attorney to follow the state law, which is always a great problem with John Barisoni. He has a lot of problem following state law when he's trying to do a political job for the city council, and it's a difficult thing for him, and I sympathize and all that. Actually, I like John. He's always been quite civil with me, or at least until recently, and I think he probably will continue to be civil. Who knows? He's able to understand that my criticism of him doesn't reflect on his position as a family man or anything else, but as a city attorney, he sucks big time, and he knows I think that, and there's all kinds of specific reasons. And not the least of them is his actions around this Tobe case, where he took no action at all to bring the city into line with what was precedent in other cities. We have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Adrian Bowles.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi. I was there in 94, and I was there a couple years ago, and this is why I call it First Fight Santa Cruz.
Huh.
And this is because, like you said, I think the windows were busted after the cops
rushed on us.
I was in the middle of the crowd, and we were looking up at the clock, and there was one guy who took off all his clothes, and he was doing a happy dance, and he climbed up on the clock, right? So we're all watching that. We're not breaking anything or doing anything. Everyone was just kind of amazed that this person would do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard nothing. You would think that the cops would get on bullhorn. We heard nothing. And I didn't hear any scuttlebutt about anyone previously breaking the windows before the cops rushed on us.
No, there was none of that. There was, what I'm saying is that the people were channeled downtown and then enraged at having been hit by police and dispersed an hour early, although these were adults and there was not martial law. I mean,
martial law, though.
Right. What I'm saying is that there's no justification for martial law.
Right.
There wasn't an invasion. The aliens hadn't landed. You know.
No. And I was right in the middle, and I saw that what really happened was, rather than crowd control, the Santa Cruz police came out in riot gear, rushed people. People fell on top of broken bottles. Foreign people from places like England said they'd never seen anything like that before, that you're allowed to, you know, in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Good Times, as well as the Senile, said that things were broken, the windows broken, and that's what prompted the police. But really, it's the other way around. Then 2 years ago, I was down there, and I decided to buy into the first night thing, and I bought the button and everything. And I found a huge crowd all around the stage, but the police are on the periphery not enforcing crowd control, and some rowdy drinkers threw their drinks on top of a mom and her little kid, and I screamed at these people so that they would stop, and they were challenging the father to fight. And then I went to the cops, and I told them what's happening in a very earnest way. Maybe you guys could go inside the crowd, you know, because you can't get out. And they said, are you kidding? We wouldn't go in there. And then they said, hey, lady, how much experience do you have with crowd control? And I think one of them was Sergeant Belcher, but I'm not sure what his name.
Police Chief Belcher is actually, he's the head of the police department.
That was him. And he told me that I had no business. I said, I was talking to one, and I don't like this. This is not right, you know. And he said, well, this is the chief of police. I said, I want to talk to your superior. So I talked to him, and he was the asshole who told me, you know, go home.
Right, Chief Belcher was actually assistant chief in 1994 and 95. I remember him most notoriously for kicking a homeless man awake on Pacific Avenue.
Oh, God.
That was Robert Flory. He kicked awake. He kicked
it
him.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
He didn't kick him in a way that injured him, but it was a humiliating kind of thing for him to do.
Yeah, he was telling all these guys in front of each other that I was stupid and I knew nothing, basically, by telling me to go home and how much experience you have. And then they said, why don't you tell the fire marshal? He's right here. So they were mocking me, and I said, well, if you're a fire marshal, if somebody, you know, dies from getting hit or, you know, certain things can happen to your body if you're squished among other people, you know, then that's on your guys' hands, not mine. I don't really give a fuck. It's your job.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, you want to tell me what my job is? And it was just like, I call it First Fight Santa Cruz, and it's just an excuse for these guys to get in their fetish gear.
It shows that the underlying point of it all for the police department, which is to protect the public's interest and to protect the public's security, is not really their priority. Their priority has to do with, you know, rather narrowly focused, what are the orders of my superior, who are the people that are in question before I make a move?
That's right.
You know, what are the economic consequences of this, at least in terms of the prestige involved? I mean, that is to say, I think, for instance, I mean, I was one of the three members of the city council, Coffee Klatch and Tag Team Teach-In, the people who sat in at city council in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we were harassed by the mayor. The mayor would come up to us and say, as we sat in this public area, you have to leave. And we'd say, no, this is a public area. If you want to call the police and arrest us,
mm-hmm.
do it. And then we'll be happy to, you know, take the matter to court. But mm-hmm. we have a right to be here. He repeatedly did this at different times. And when a mayor comes up to you and says, leave, it's mm-hmm. a pretty intimidating thing. So what happened was the mayor called the police, or someone called the police, perhaps the mayor or his administrative assistant, after the administrative assistant had sort of carrying forward the mayor's policy, abused the protesters, including an 82-year-old woman who she was insisting leave early. And in order to avoid conflict, we did leave a little early, and I commented to her that I thought it was disgraceful that somebody employed by the city would do this.
Mm-hmm.
And she was also, she had written the names, typed the name of the city on each one of the little 29-cent Bic pens because she was afraid we were pilfering her pens. And I commented this seemed to be a rather sad use of her time. So when I got back, Sergeant Baker and a CSO were there taking photos and interviewing her and interviewing people. And I asked Sergeant Baker after he took me outside and said, well, you know, what you're doing here is illegal. I said, well, then you should make an arrest, obviously, if you think something's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, this rises to disturbing the peace. And I said, really? Well, then, you know, let's then you do it your job and I'll do mine because
mm-hmm.
we keep our voices down. We maintain, you know, a civil demeanor. We aren't always in agreement with what those city council people do as they attempt to avoid the sleeping ban and more people die on the streets and they won't put anything on the agenda. But we are there in a legal capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And Baker said, I said, in fact, what I want to do is make a complaint, you know, have you put in your report the kind of abuse that's going on with respect to us. And he wouldn't do it. And finally, he resisted it. And finally, and as I continue, he says, oh, all right, I'll make a note. And what I haven't done, of course, is yet seek a copy of that police report,
mm-hmm.
which I will be doing because, of course, within 5 days, the city had issued what I regard as an unconstitutional restraining order against the three of us,
mm-hmm.
who are not all the people in the office, but three of us who essentially were organizing and leading the protest. They were trying to pick off the leaders.
Right.
They didn't claim we were violent. They didn't claim we were threatening violence. But they used an office worker, Anna Brooks, who claimed that we were disrupting her office by sitting there. And, you know, I suppose that a very, very sensitive office worker who is used to having those chairs empty and only panjan drums and city council members and people of the hoi polloi come in there and spend any time there, that might upset her. But if that's the case, I would say she needs the assistance, perhaps, of some kind of counseling, you know.
Right.
It certainly, she doesn't need to have her fears energized by the mayor. She doesn't need to have her control tendencies, or tendencies to authoritarianism, you know, emphasized. And that's exactly what Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice did.
What about all the pounding noise from building all of these corporate structures downtown? Wouldn't that kind of, she survived all that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the noise. She had a whole series of incidents that she had picked out. I mean, like once or twice a day, we would get into some kind of, there would be some minor confrontational problem, usually because she would try to enforce some rule, or she would interrupt us in what we were discussing, but she would never lay down any specific concerns, like, I'm really concerned that you're talking too loudly, can you keep it quiet, in which case we might have said, sure, or we might have said, fuck you, I don't know what we would have said, but, you know, we certainly would have paid some attention to a particular concern. Instead, the mayor came out and said, you're all going to have to leave, and we said, no, we're not.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to make it, and of course, now we are, because of this restraining order. What I'm saying is that your perspective that the police are sort of a law unto themselves
mm-hmm.
is, I think, it hasn't changed. In 1994, it was true. In 1990, I guess 99, you say this happened, or 98?
I think it was 98. I've been boycotting it. I also see First Night as being amateur night for alcoholics, but they're very well behaved downtown.
Uh-huh.
I've always thought that the public was extremely well behaved.
Yeah, they do. They do very well. I mean, I like it when I would like to see more gatherings of people downtown, even if it means, you know, that there's a commercial aspect to it. I don't like that part of it, but I like it when people get together, and
mm-hmm.
I like to see that. And I think it's a healthy thing. I think there's more chance.
Halloween is cool like that, and there's less of a police show of force. And I was thinking a couple of years ago, I think this is 94, I lived downtown, so I walked around, and I saw these guys that were the same ones that were all done up in their outfits.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this really eagle-eyed, edgy look. One particular guy was a very light-skinned black guy, and it seemed to me that the whole thing might have been a training exercise. Because these guys stayed walking up and down the mall for a couple of days, same guys that I saw that night that were out front. And it seems like maybe there was some strange little training exercise going on. That's what I thought.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would appreciate if you would call my producer and give her your number, because I'd like to interview you in more detail about what you saw in 1994, if that's okay with you.
What's that phone number?
And the phone number to reach, and for anybody else interested in reaching this show off air, it's 423-HUFF, 423-4833, 423-4833, and of course, call-in number to this show is 427-3772, and I thanks for calling in.
Sure.
Hey.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good new year. Stay away from the first night.
Oh.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's the kind of call that we need.